I wrote a song.
You did?
Inspired by my time at a trampoline park in Concord, New Hampshire.
Oh, is the trampoline park fun?
Yes.
We did a Una's birthday at a trampoline park before, and it was really fun.
The only thing that I didn't like about it was that you really have to like interact with a lot of kids when you're there. Like,
yeah.
It's like very, like they play like dodgeball against each other and stuff. I was not getting involved with all that, you know?
Well, we had a party of little girls, and they weren't into that kind of things. They were just kind of like bouncing.
Oh, there was like an American Gladiators type of thing. You know, like
they had that there. The girls would not do it.
We had fun with that. And like, there's like a trapeze. No, thanks. There's like a trapeze into like a big pit of like foam blocks.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably standard. It was a pretty good cardio workout. It wasn't I thought it was going to be totally exhausting because I've been in bounce houses where it's been like,
oh, because the bounce house is such a struggle.
It is. After like 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm getting tired.
Yeah. Well, because it doesn't give you a bounce back the way a trampoline does. Right. A trampoline like assists you.
Exactly. Exactly. But there was a guy there, like a hot dad with a dick print.
What? Dick print in his pants, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was wearing sweatpants and
gray.
Not even.
Oh.
No, yeah.
And it dad with a dick print.
Exactly. Dick print dad. So I wrote a song about him. Okay. Dick print dad at the trampoline park. Print is so bold I can see it in the dark. You're flapping all around and you're giving me a show. So meet me in the bathroom if you want to get blown.
Do you ever say dick print dad or is it called dick print dad? Is it
dick
the first thing
dad
you said?
At the trampoline park, yeah. Right. I mean, I'm happy to remind you. And, you know, I was thinking about that and it's like, you know, Beyonce went country, but I've been going country.
I know, you've been country. That's this why is, I said that you yeah. would like that Orville.
Pack right. So did you listen to the Beyonce album?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Well, I didn't get through the whole thing. There's 25 tracks.
I believe 26. It's 27.
Oh, 27. I listened to it with Una. I skipped through a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I like it. I actually liked it more than Renaissance or whatever. Is that called Renaissance?
Yeah, that was called Renaissance. That was part one Renaissance. For me, like the last third of the album, I love.
Uh-huh.
And everything else I will never listen to again as long as I live.
I'm not into 16 Carriages. I do like Texas Hold'em, though. It's good.
I mean, I'll have to listen to that, and I'm fine with that song, but that does not stir my soul.
Did you see this girl did a mashup of that, and it's like Candy. What's that song?
Candy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Candy, yeah. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, I'll show you. It's really good.
And, you know, it's nice that even though, does she do any of the music? Linda Martell, the first black woman to play the Grand Ole Opry,
she's not it. OG. She's on it.
She's multiple times comes on to talk about genre, which is just like inherent to the album.
Right.
Like I mean, whatever. She's trying to make it accessible for everybody, sure, but I just feel like it explains itself in a way that I don't find particularly artful, actually. And just but it's mostly just not my thing, you know? Like
yeah,
I don't listen to like guitar-y music.
But you write it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that's actually common.
Yeah.
Like people who do, I mean, and it's kind of like, I guess what I do in real life, I would never listen to a podcast that's just two idiots talking to each other.
Right. Like, I mean, I do. Not idiots, but you know, I do listen to, I'm actually really into one about Madonna.
Well, that's the thing is it's themed around something. Ours is not themed around anything other than we're just high.
Our whims.
Yeah. You just put that in the description.
Themed around our whims. But yeah, and you know, like, I don't know. Like on one hand, I always like when the Beyonce, when the song came out, when Texas Hold'em came out, I wasn't into it, but I was like, oh, this is going to go to number one. And I love that it's going to go to number one. Like I'm here for all that. You know, I adore her. I think she's the greatest doing it, obviously. Like there's nobody else, but like I'm never gonna be that interested in a genre exercise from her because it's just not the level of, it's like the experimentation is not at the level that I want from experimental music, and it doesn't sound like a natural fit in certain ways, and it feels like...
Oh, I think it does.
I think that she's not going to be doing country music.
No.
This is like her stopping by.
Right, you know? But I think that it's executed
I think from what I can tell, that album sounds exactly like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of beyond... It's really in Not My Thing territory. I think her voice sounds beautiful. I hate the Jolene cover. I don't like the Blackbird cover either. I think both of the, to me...
Oh, I hate the Jolene cover. Ugh. And I have a lot of issues with it.
Yeah, right?
Because like the charm of the Dolly Parton song was that it inverted the other woman trope. It like was a surprise. It was like she wasn't...
Well, a lot of her songs have that surprise hook back then. You know, there's always kind of like an angle, Dolly on it. You know?
No, I mean, but like, yeah, but I mean, like... In terms of like, she wasn't angry at the woman. It wasn't about beating her ass. It was about like having reverence for this woman, mm-hmm. and like begging her because like she's desperate to stay with this guy. And it's like not really about the guy, because when she talks about Jolene, she's like talking about her beauty and like, you know, her sexual power basically.
Yes,
and then when she talks about herself, she's talking about like her delicacy and stuff. Uh-huh. And she doesn't really talk about the guy and what's anything about him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, she says it's not a competition. Like, that's the thing. She's like, it's not a competition. You would get him.
Right.
And so I'm not going to compete.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's interesting about it is that it's a different, you know.
Perspective.
Yes. And especially in terms of country stuff. So, because, you know, you think of like country music, other woman shit. It's like, what's her face with the baseball bat?
Gretchen Wilson.
Is it Carrie Underwood? The next time you cheat, or is that's Gretchen Wilson?
Yes.
No,
Gretchen Wilson. Well, she was like that, but also like, but actually, I don't even know. I'm not equipped to actually say what women's representation in country was like in 1970 or whatever when Jolene was written. Is that when it was?
Yeah, but 74? it was still always like that. It was like
get your boots.
Yeah, get your boots, bitch.
That's a good one. Get your boots, bitch. That's a really good feminist country album. Anthem.
We're going dancing.
Yeah.
No, it was like that. It was like, you know, you're angry at the other woman and you're pissed and, you know, it's...
Definitely. I mean, it was okay for women to show that strength in the genre back then.
Yes, because you know what it is, because men could understand it, because that's how men would react.
Mm-hmm.
If there was like another guy, like he would go, I just feel like a country song is like he would go.
Like, I don't know very much, but I do think that there is some picture of like really kind of subservient values from just the big ones like Stand By Your Man.
But
and
they
Crazy.
Always have. No, the women's songs. Well, yeah, but that Crazy's really old. Crazy's from like the 50s. Yeah, yeah. Early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But then Beyonce takes the song. First of all, I thought it was a bit arrogant to change the words of a Dolly Parton song. But then keep what it means, also change what it means.
Right. I'm not into any of that.
So like the thing is that then for her Jolene, it's like there's this competition and she's just talk shit about this woman this entire song.
Right.
And it's like, you wish you had this. And it's like a cheating man.
Right.
No.
Yeah. No.
And like also it's clearly... not a competition, because a competition, you win a prize, and a man is not a prize. Like, you get especially him. Yeah, he's a billionaire, but whatever. He's capitalist scum.
I mean, is it even necessarily Jay-Z? Like, are we now supposed to become reinvested in this whole thing? She hasn't talked about this in a little while. Now we have
to, like, she's always been talking about this.
I guess so, but I feel like the last big statement was Lemonade, and then kind of like Renaissance. I don't get much of a sense of
Jay-Z. No, that was more party. Yeah, yeah. But
a little
of
bit,
course
I guess.
It's going to be, because,
like,
you know, it's emotional,
stuff, guess,
so
like,
it's like...
Implicitly, but I also feel like it's more general than that. But also to me, that, you know, covering...
But it doesn't matter. She's shitting on a woman anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like totally like turning that song and taking the cool thing about it and then not doing the cool thing.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. I really didn't like it in terms of that. And I think that like the imagery is just, I don't know, a bad look. And then I was just like disappointed to see so many people being like, I would be like that. I would be like that. But no, you wouldn't, because that's happened to me, and like I wasn't like that, and
okay,
I actually have.
Other people might react differently.
Well,
you.
I have a bad temper. I feel like I've done crazy things before. When I peed on Dan's guitar and I stabbed something with a knife, and like I've done shit that was crazy because of like what he did or what he did to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, or maybe I'm just Maybe I'm just older. Maybe I just got better.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done that in a while. I also think just like picking Jolene is such an obvious choice.
Right.
And it's like on par with covering I Feel Love on a dance album, which by the way, she did last time. So it's just, that's the weird thing about Renaissance for me is that the references are just all over the place. Well, there's like a,
I think Jolene like, is a good choice. I actually think Jolene is a good choice because I think it's,
I think it's too obvious.
I think it's obvious for people like us, but a lot of people who don't like country are they still like Jolene. So it's like this way of sort of, you know, being a gateway.
Yeah, I think it hews a little too close to the masses to feel really, again, like artful or right. impactful in a way. It feels kind of like pandering to me.
I just want
to
say too, moment. Though, I love all the visuals of this album and I like the Jolene video.
Oh, I didn't see there's a Jolene video.
Yeah, it's weird. It's the official video, but it's like almost just like a loop
yeah.
of something, but it's good.
This is the official lyric video.
Oh, it's just lyric video.
Yeah, so okay. That's why.
Okay. But it is cool. Like I really like,
I wouldn't expect her.
I really like the style of all
yeah,
of
I wouldn't
this.
Expect anything but cool looking from her.
But yeah, I don't like Jolene. And I don't like 16 Carriages. I just
Me
like
either.
The I didn't like any slow songs from this, and
Me
I
neither.
Like Beyonce's slow songs. Mm-hmm. Like although I don't like Angel. I never liked that one.
Halo. Yeah, exactly. to me, it is on par with that project. And it reminds me of stuff from Lemonade that I didn't like, which like I didn't like most of Lemonade. You know, it's fine. You can have your moment. Has nothing to do with me, but just I'm never going to not want her to be R&B.
Right.
Like, that's just what I want to hear from her. And so, but I do think that the last half,
you
the
hear
last,
that Beyonce,
exactly,
you can't please them all.
That's right. But it does. It has been a kind of annoying album cycle where it just feels. It almost feels de rigueur at this point. Isn't that how you say it? No, it's not how you say it.
It is. Yeah. I almost snotted out my juice.
That just like she releases this record and then people praise it so effusively and it's just this constant kind of, and it feels like there's no room in the conversation for any dissent, you know. It just feels a lot like that, and you see like major outlets publishing these like reviews that just completely at the very least, whether accidentally or not, kowtowed to the fans, to the stands, to the like, don't hurt me, I'm gonna say something nice about your person, and then they can like you and then they'll read you and they won't.
That's what I thought was so funny about Swarm, was that it was, you know, because they're crazy,
right?
They're so crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people definitely
not murderous
have,
crazy, but you could,
well, it, that was just like a,
yeah,
teasing it out to
right.
the like absurdity that it could be. But like, I mean, there is like awfully annoying really to listen to music these days, pop music, you know. It's become kind of a chore, and like I'll always say it, but to me part of the fun is laughing at it, and it seems like people are so humorless about their patron saints that I just wonder, like,
right.
are you actually having fun?
Right.
Because like I've been making fun of Madonna.
That's
like,
a really
forever.
Good title for a book.
Are you actually having fun?
Yeah.
My new system.
Your system is not fun. Your system is like regimented.
Well, because
walking and like taking like long walks, doing psyllium husk,
singing songs,
exercising. I'm talking about the just in case method.
Right. That meant this is a different system. This is a system for having fun. Sometimes you gotta have fun, and sometimes you gotta get serious. And that's the big system. That's the tagline. You know, it's like two sets of videos. So like there's the fun and the serious. But it does kind of also remind me. Remember when LaToya Jackson did the country album?
Oh.
Country album.
Wait, let me show you this.
Oh yeah. Is this the mashup?
Yeah.
Same feeling I always seem to get.
There's a tornado tonight.
It's good, and it does kind of speak to the way that it is still kind of R. It's always going to be kind of R&B. It's always going to be soulful with Beyonce, obviously. But I would love to see her do like a... I'm just waiting for an R&B album, and I feel like, you know, the rock album that might be coming is like yet another thing in that, in the way of that.
The Rock?
Yeah, supposedly part three, people are saying that it's going to be...
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Rock.
No, not The Rock.
Like, man, I thought you were saying Dwayne Johnson was putting out an album.
With Beyonce.
That was weird, but it would probably do really well.
Yeah, they're very popular. No, but supposedly part three. I mean, that's what people are saying now, but I feel like if you can predict it now, then Beyonce's not going to do the thing that you think she's going to do.
Okay. So what do you think she's going to do?
I would love a hardcore R&B album. She could do a rap album. I mean, she's kind of done that before, yeah, in a way. She's been rapping. So I don't know. So she could totally bring it back home and do the thing that she does, or she could do something.
She should just do Destiny's Child.
I mean, that's been another rumor that the third album is going to be a Destiny's Child. I guess so. I mean, she to me and her and Destiny's Child, I mean, I love a lot of Destiny's Child songs, obviously, but it was like so long a showcase of her. It's not that different without the girls.
I know,
you know, and in many ways her solo material completely supersedes Destiny's Child, which I think people like but see as somewhat less serious. Like, now everything is themed and self-conscious art and stuff, and that was pop,
but it would be nice.
It would be nice.
Who's interviewing her? What drag queen?
I have no idea.
This is 1994.
Here's an exclusive from Nashville to You Era interview. LaToya Jackson interviewed by Brandywine in December 1994.
Okay.
30 years.
She looks like, that's what her look was like in the 70s.
Yeah, it was. She's got the gold like headband across the head.
I should start doing that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, I do have a Playboy video that's out now, so everybody can buy it for Christmas. It's wonderful.
Tell me, now what's coming up? Tell me a little bit about the album that's everybody coming up. Everybody can buy it for Christmas. Western, right?
What? That everybody could buy her Playboy video for Christmas. Put it in this great stocking stuffer.
Stuff the stocking.
There's films. What haven't you done?
Yes, I do have a Playboy video that's out now, so everybody can buy it for Christmas. It's wonderful.
Now, what's coming up? Tell me a little bit about the...
Yes. I had no idea what I was going to get from my father.
You would have known you were gay then.
Well, it's one of those gifts that you buy for somebody
keeps
else.
On
definitely that. But you buy it for somebody else because you want it for yourself.
Like when girls buy lingerie.
I would all.
Tell me, now what's coming up? Tell me a little bit about the album that's coming up. A little bit of country western, right?
No, not that album. No, I'm doing something totally different. The country western album was just something just to do with my spiritual home. I had a free week free, and then we just.
What? Have you seen this before?
Sounds like Beyonce to me.
It's one of those things. I had a week free. What week doesn't she have free? LaToya Jackson.
Tell me a little bit about the album that's coming up. A little bit of country western, right?
No, not that album. I'm doing something totally different. The country western album was just something just to do with my spiritual. I had a free week free. Decided, well, why not do the country?
Why not? Me as well.
It's wonderful. I heard some of the tracks and it's really, really nice.
Thank you. Hi, I'm LaToya and I want to wish you a very, very merry, merry Christmas and a wonderful and prosperous new year.
This is the song? What?
This is the song one.
It sounds like the beginning of 2001. Yeah. Oh, it is!
It's also Burn in Love.
A little Phantom of the Opera too.
There's danger nearby.
I cannot believe that she had the gall to do this. To be like, it's all starting.
Thank you.
awful, by the way.
It's so bad. Can you imagine, like, who bought this and was like...
This is like something at the mall, you know? And you'd, like, make those music videos at the mall, like, with the green screen. This is so bad.
Do you think anybody bought this thinking it might be good?
Did anybody buy this?
Like 10 people maybe?
Can you check?
I don't think so, but you can kind of only check the RIAA website.
You know what? I bet dollars to donuts that we sold more books than LaToya Jackson sold country albums.
Yes, I probably. Almost certainly.
Oh, she's doing it live. Controversial. Oh, and Geraldo?
Outspoken. She sings surprisingly like an angel. And
a surprising angel. I'd be surprised if that were an angel. If an angel sounded like that, I'd be like, wow, there is no God, I guess.
All right, looks good. She's coming out to the 2001 song.
Yeah. It's her thing.
I do like her style in this era, though.
Okay.
Like, she's wearing leggings and blazers.
Sensational. This is a song written by Willie Nelson. It was made. It was immortalized.
I didn't know he wrote that.
Late Patsy Cline. You will be shocked, I bet, when you hear her sing.
I bet we will.
Oh, Jack. What's his name? Was there? What was his name? Jack.
Is that her husband?
Yeah, the guy that abused her.
He kind of looks like Janet's cover of, like...
Control.
Yeah.
And Michael's face.
Right.
Circa, like, bad?
Yes. Crazy. I can only think of Marla Hooch doing this.
I'm crazy. She just... Yeah.
It's... I mean, if I saw this at karaoke, I'd be like, okay.
Sure. See, she went for it.
Yeah.
But there's just something about her tone, unfortunately.
Right.
That just, like, unlike Janet, whose tone is nice. You know, Janet doesn't have a huge range or whatever, but yeah. She sounds nice. Just, she sounds good. There's just something...
Shrill.
She's shrill and she goes off key too frequently, you know?
It's crazy that she never really had
crazy.
To do... Yeah. She never really had to do much. But she still got to do things.
Yeah,
she still got to do this. A lot. After she has Geraldo calling her sensational.
Well, she looks sensational. She was also such jockeying for attention at this point.
Right.
You know, it had been years in the tabloid press. Because I think 91 is when she split with the family. I think that's when her first book came out. It might have been earlier than that. It might have been 89.
How do you
still
think
sounds
she
like
lives?
A Muppet.
Absolutely sounds like a Muppet Show performance.
It actually, she kind of has Miss Piggy's range. You know?
Yeah, she does.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. You know what she looks like? She looks like when... Remember there was at that time in my life when we would take pictures and only my nostrils would show up because I was wearing so much translucent powder? It was like a thing.
Yes.
That's what she looks like when you're like, just like, look at her right away because there's no...
Also kind of like an alien.
Yeah, there's no definition.
Right. Your standards.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Your standards.
Yeah, but it's like, we do it. She does have a nose. It's just difficult to see.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
She looks dazed there.
She does.
The problem is you become so much a product of the tabloid pages, people don't listen or give you credit. That is a beautiful song.
It is what? Actually.
Why is he kissing her ass so hard?
I don't know. Maybe they had a deal or something. But okay, that is actually the best musical context that she's ever performed in that I've heard. It always sounds ridiculous, and that actually kind of like, it sounded ridiculous, but it kind of worked. Or is it like never works? I mean, I do love Betcha Gonna Need My Lovin'. The like, the,
that's a good title.
You ever hear that? It's like the best LaToya Jackson song.
Is she the only one that doesn't have kids?
Rebe has kids? Huh? I guess so. Rebe has kids?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know.
I'm not sure.
This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
This is the best LaToya Jackson song. A legitimately good one. And she kind of ruins it in a way. I mean,
did she do a video of this?
No. But there was a 12-inch.
Why wasn't this a huge hit?
I don't know. It's weird. There's a few songs that are like this. Like Stephanie Mills has one as well, and Shalimar, and they just weren't big. I think they might have been going at it. There was like a brief flicker where this was style was sellable, and then it was like out really quickly, I think, on the charts. So I think some things just like missed. Just wrong time. Less adventurous DJs would want to play the instrumental.
I wanted to talk to you about, it's like kind of a fun fact, but a story as well.
Okay.
Remember, all right, so back in the very, very end of 1999, Diddy went to a club with J-Lo and some other people and a bodyguard, and the bodyguard, Diddy, and this other rapper, Shine, who was like new and Bad Boy, and his first album wasn't even out yet, but it was like coming out that year. They all got arrested for shooting in this club because this one guy like came up to them and like they said showed a gun, and like a woman ended up getting shot in the face. She survived.
Wow.
Yeah. And she sued Diddy, and because she said, she kept saying like, he shot me in the face, he's the one who did it. And yeah, like she said that when the and she's been speaking out, she's always told the same story, and even, and she sued him successfully, and she's like, and I have been harassed ever since. In 1 year, one time, I had 7 flats on my car, the same tire every time. He shot me, and he made someone else say that they did it. And that was
how,
like,
much
the
did
rumor.
You get?
$1.8 million.
Doesn't seem like,
but
a lot.
Oh,
given
and like 12
fortune.
Years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she did get her money. He like quietly settled that. After trying to like get it thrown out and shit, which is crazy.
And there were never any criminal charges?
There were. He got off. He just got probation. And but
oh,
this,
yeah.
Yeah. And but this guy Shine took all the heat, and right, the rumor was that Puffy had paid him a certain amount of money to like take the rap. And then Shine ended up like earning all of this street cred because he didn't talk, he didn't snitch, he didn't say anything, and he took 10 years. And his album came out, and apparently it was like a pretty big hit. I don't remember it though.
I vaguely remember.
It didn't sell. It didn't go platinum, but it sold like 900,000 copies, which, you know, for him not doing any promotion because he was in prison.
Right.
And that, but then he left Bad Boy while he was in prison and signed with Def Jam. It's a little bit like, I'm kind of thinking that they may have based part of like Hustle and Flow off of him.
Okay.
You know how like once he went to prison or jail or whatever, the album sold really well because people were like, oh, he's so hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
it, like, added to
like
his
we
lore.
Saw with YNW Melly, where when he was like charged with murder, his single flew up the charts.
Right.
It's pretty wild. There's also, there's another guy who wrote a song while he was on the run.
Oh, Takei?
Yes.
I like that song.
Yes.
You know, there were all these rumors. There's always rumors. Like, so many people have said it. Like, some people from his inner circle and stuff. People guess that maybe it was like $1 million or whatever.
That's it? 10 years for $1 million? What?
Yeah. And then.
Well, wait, then, I mean, like, why? If your album hasn't even come out yet, $1 million, then you're going to say, I can make that.
I don't know. You can Google it, but that's what people say.
That's wild to think that someone would do that for that.
Well, I mean, $1 million meant something different in like 2000 than it does now.
But not that much. No, this is the opposite conversation that we had about inflation, where you said that a bag of $6 brownies in 2004 would cost $35 today.
It could.
Yeah, at Erewhon, we had this conversation. Erewhon, Erewhon, what is it? Erewhon?
Erewhon.
Yeah. I mean, that's a...
I think it's nowhere backwards, right?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I'm not positive, but I think it is, right?
It's very silly to me that like that place exists to be expensive. Right. You know, it's like one thing.
I refuse to go there, and people rave about it.
People rave about it, and but there was that study of people who, I told you about it before. I can't locate it at the time, but it was like people who were given wine in a study, and if they were told it was expensive, like more dopamine was present as a result of it. So there's a sense that like, just thinking it's expensive. And so that because prices are
that does make me happy. Like thinking about something being expensive.
Well, exactly. And I think it makes it alluring to people who can afford it or just can't afford it, you know, just out of reach or like out of reach, but then you're going to have to sacrifice in another aspect, whatever, like that close.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, neurotransmitters are what they are. Can't argue with brain chemistry. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's brain chemistry.
Wait, let me finish telling you about Shine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Shine, he did 9 years. He didn't do the full 10.
Right.
But he made other albums. While he was in prison,
how did he do that?
Through the phone.
That's what I understood.
And he signed with Def Jam. I don't know. I've never listened to any of his prison albums, but he wanted to leave Def Jam because he wanted to go to Cash Money. And he ended up having a big falling out with Puffy. Yeah, with Diddy. And maybe it is because he realized once he was in prison, like, oh, this is not worth $1 million.
Seems like there was only one album that came out while he was in prison.
Yeah, there was. Yes. But he did.
Unless it's
featured,
just not on Spotify. Okay.
He's featured on people's songs and stuff. And on like, I'm pretty sure
maybe
soundtrack.
Some mixtapes too. Yeah, well, it seems like Godfather Buried Alive, which came out August 10th, 2004, was he
in prison?
In prison right away? Like, was it?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There wasn't any kind of lag. Okay, but there were a ton of mixtapes. The Truth Advance, Lost Sons, Life After the Club, Lost Tapes, DJ Laser Presents Shine, The Son of Sam.
So he had been
25 to Life plus 9.
He was on The Carter, which is like a huge, you know, Lil Wayne album. He, or The Carter 4 or whatever. Yeah, wait, don't read it. I want to surprise you.
Oh.
You read it. Well,
I mean, I didn't know that.
I'm like telling him a story about something and he looks on Wikipedia instead.
Well, I had no idea that that's where it was going. It was just, I was looking up a fact and I was like, oh, let me click
now,
on it.
But now pretend to be surprised when
okay.
I tell you.
I mean, it seems wild.
But he was going to go to Cash Money, but when he got out of prison, he immediately was arrested by ICE. And he was, you know, going to be deported. And
he's from Belize.
Yes. Well, originally,
if he can Belize it.
I mean, originally he's from Belize, but then his mom, then they moved to Brooklyn when he was a kid. But just with his mom, his dad was a politician, and his dad and his parents weren't married, and his dad wouldn't claim him initially.
Uh-huh.
And so he was estranged from his father, but was still close with his father's family. So he was going to have to go back to Belize, and it was fucking up his Cash Money deal because he wasn't, as a felon that was deported, he wasn't going to be able to do business in America. So it was going to like not work for them in some way that, I don't know, there was something that like made it impossible for him to be on Cash Money mm-hmm. if he was going to be deported. Well, while he was in prison, he converted to Judaism. And mm-hmm. he became like an Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. So when he got out of prison, when he was told that he had to leave the country, he went to, I think he stopped off at Belize, but then he went to Israel, and then he lived in Israel for 3 years. And then he came back to Belize. And then,
wait, you said he converted to Judaism?
Yeah.
But it, like what kind of Judaism?
Like Orthodox.
Orthodox Judaism, not like the Israelites or like the black Jew kind of.
He said Orthodox.
Cults.
I mean, it says it on his Wikipedia.
Okay.
So then he moved back to Belize after like living and studying in Israel, moved back, got into politics, during this whole thing, his dad became prime minister of Belize. He was the first black prime minister of Belize. And he and his dad had patched up their relationship, and now they were like, I don't know, famous together. His dad was like trying to negotiate him being able to stay. Like, he was negotiating to get him out of ICE and stuff. He's right wing, by the way. And he's anti
his right wing.
He was against, yeah, he was against Obama. He was like,
wow.
So now he's like part of the center right party. It's the oppositional. He's the leader of the oppositional party of the Belize government right now. Uh-huh. And he's like in their Congress or whatever. So he's running for prime minister, and he's like probably going to win.
Shine. I mean, that is a fun fact.
That's a crazy story, yeah. Right? I mean, that guy's life is insane.
Yes. Show me that movie.
Right. He, you know, he got signed. He was just singing in the barbershop. He used to sing, or I guess rap, but whatever. He was doing both, I think. And in the barbershop, and somebody who knew Puffy, or Diddy, whatever. He's Puffy then. But somebody who knew him was like, oh, you got to see this kid shine. He immediately was signed for like a huge record deal at Bad Boy, and then became like, Puffy took him into his like
inner circle.
Yeah. I think there's going to be like so much more that comes out about Diddy, about like
who he provided people to.
Yeah. Or who like
Epstein type of stuff
or down low shit.
Mm-hmm.
Of because I think he's bi.
Well, that is always the rumor, right?
And it seems like he's truly, he's not gay. He's bi.
Well, we have no idea.
Well, that's my
yes.
Hypothesis.
Right.
Assumption.
Right. But he's actually not come out as anything but straight.
Right. You know, it's a lot of people that are talking. It's like Joe mm-hmm. Budden and 50 Cent and who else? I've seen like, cause you know, Joe Budden has that podcast.
Yes.
And he has people on, and that's all they're talking about.
Right.
But
Joe Budden is such a miserable excuse for a commentator.
The Fat Jew told this story.
Mm-hmm. With the whole cancellation of Diddy, I was at a party in Miami that should not have been at, like some real black excellent shit that I was not deserving to be at, but I went with a DJ.
Yeah.
And I took ecstasy, and I ended up wandering around. We're in some mansion on Star Island, and I end up walking, I guess it was his mansion. I walked in a room I shouldn't have walked into, and I saw him like hooking up with a dude, basically like full spooning situation. This guy, Felix the House Cat, who's like a producer. Whatever. I then told the story on a podcast, and then his people called me and were like, you need to say you were joking. Like, say you're a funny guy and like you made it up for the views. And I was like, but I did not. I saw it. And he saw me when I came in.
Weren't you like a little scared?
Yes. Because everyone in the room like stopped because I opened the door and was like, is this the bathroom? And everyone was like, no, this is a room where like celebrities, like male celebrities hook up. It's like some glitterati shit.
Yeah.
And then he basically had people call me and like threaten me and like tell me that if I didn't take it back and say I was joking.
And you still didn't take it back?
Confused. No.
Why?
And then I talked about it on Hot 97 and they wouldn't air it. Ebro, who does the morning show on Hot 97. And I told the story. And then afterwards he was like, I'm not going to run this interview because like Diddy's insane. And he'll like, he blew up Kid Cudi's car.
I guess Ebro has run a lot of nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's a scoop. I mean, but Ebro was like, he's insane. He'll kill us all.
Yeah.
Like, wild.
Totally. Well.
What do you think?
Oh, I did get those Patti LuPone clips, if you want to watch them now.
I forgot to watch it.
Well, I just got the clips.
Yeah, let's watch it.
Okay. So I just got mainly two clips.
I just had an idea. I want to do something.
Okay.
Really quick.
All right.
I just want to do a commercial for this ashtray. Okay.
All right.
I saw these ashtrays. Look at how cool they are.
It's gorgeous.
It just has the one notch because you only need the one because you smoke one joint.
Smooth.
Yeah. And it's a half circle.
Yeah. It has a holder here. It makes passing it easy.
Yeah. Because it's supposed to fit. It fits perfectly in the palm of your hand to pass. It's for passing a joint. And it's kind of like, I think it's classy.
It's a classy passer ashtray.
Ashtray. Anyway, I sell these in different colors and stuff. I have one that's a cow print.
Yeah, I have one that's like jade, I would say.
Yeah, it's, I call it mint, but it looks like jade, but it's all blown glass.
Right, right. It's a nice piece.
Pipedreams.fun.
Yeah, there you go. On to our show.
Change.
The premise of this is like four 18-ish kids are doing a masterclass with Patti LuPone, which basically just involves them singing a song for her and her to tell them to do it totally different and then being pleased with her results. It happens every time. She like claps and cheers once they do what she says.
Tell me about the song. Are there riffs in it? Are there riffs in the music? Or did you add them?
I think I added them.
Okay. Never ever rewrite a composer. It is not your place. If he didn't write it, don't sing it. And that's the first thing. You are here to serve the playwright, to serve the composer, to serve the lyricist, not to put your opinion on it. I say that to, not just to you, Kara, but to you guys. Your stamp will be your interpretation, but you can't alter what they've written. Better to hit a note that goes straight to their brain,
sure,
and their heart and their groin.
Everything she said was in love, even with the critiques. Like, I was scared to death when she told me I shouldn't have riffed. I was like, oh God, I've offended Patti. But it was like, I've just kind of collected myself because I could tell in the moment that this wasn't a time where she was expecting me to grovel and be just like all these different things. It wasn't about that.
It wasn't one of
those
times.
It was about her helping me to see something that I didn't know before.
Pennies.
So then she redoes
or
it.
Nickels,
right in her face.
She's making them get in her face.
Made her cry.
Oh, it's fantastic. I need a Kleenex.
But then this was the clip that I was thinking about last week when I was like, there's a thing. What is that thing she says? This is the one that was like, okay, shared the most commonly.
I miss the dizzy heights, all the manic magic days, and the dark depressing nights. Mountains make you crazy. Here it's safe and sound. My mind is somewhere hazy. My feet are on the ground.
To me, acting through a song is a lot easier than acting. I can hide behind the melody and kind of like, I can be more vulnerable without, I can appear more vulnerable without actually being more vulnerable, I guess.
I miss my love.
I should tell you, this is a little bit long because you need the full context, okay, but there's a payoff.
How old are you?
In real life? I'm 18.
Isn't this the mother? And I haven't seen it, but I knew it was the mother. And the mother's bipolar? Mm-hmm. Where is this in the show? Does she move from here into some action, some kind
she
of...
She stops taking the pills.
Okay, so this is a big transitional song. This is something that changes the course of the play?
What musical is this?
I have no idea.
Okay, I gotta see that. The very last line is, I miss my life. I'll bet you she gets up and walks and lights go out, and it's a brand new scene. And now she's crazy, right? Or you see her taking the pills and flushing them down the toilet.
That's actually exactly what happened.
And flinging plates.
She flushes them down the toilet.
What does she call
her? In this particular song, I would imagine the mountains are an orgasm. You know what I mean?
I'm not exactly. I didn't really understand what she was saying when she was like, maybe I miss the mountains as an orgasm. And I was like, okay. I really think that's it, but sure.
Is it really mountains? Or is it some facet of your life that was, you know, ecstatically?
She's fun. You know, I met her and interviewed her, and she was totally normal in a way. You know, I mean, it's like it was not particularly remarkable. She was nice, and she loved when I brought up her memoir. She loved that I'd read it, and I had just refreshed, obviously. But she was pretty normal, and she told me that they're working on a Life Goes On reboot.
Oh, good! Oh my God, good!
That's what she
while
said.
While they're all alive, they should.
Yeah,
do it.
Exactly. That's what she said. She was talking about it openly. Like,
because
it wasn't
you
like
I've seen people from Life Goes On at 90s Con. Because, you know, 90s Con just happens all. It's like right. a big deal now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you like that.
Me?
Yeah. Everybody.
I did. I did like it.
I liked it, too. I had fun. We had fun. I can give you a preview of what's coming up.
Oh,
Lizzo.
Oh, cool. Talk about Lizzo. Okay, Lizzo's flounce off of Instagram or yeah. whatever.
And she was back like the next day.
Wait.
Save it for the bonus.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to talk about Lizzo.
And also the best, in my opinion, for some reason, I think you may have seen this before, but I'd hope to hell that you don't. The best concoction of all time.
Oh.
And the best concoction in the history of America's Next Top Model. It's not America's Next Top Model. I'm talking about... I'm talking about like I'm just
that
saying
is it. One though
I'm like calling well I'm just using that lingo to refer to our history, you know what I mean?
Okay,
the I'm best concoction in pot psychology history.
Okay, in pot psychology history,
in the history of pot psychology.
It is a long history though.
It is. Speaking of top model, I can't get enough. Patreon.com/potpsychology. We are going through cycle 3.
And it's really good. It's the best cycle and it's so good.
Yeah, one of the best reality show experiences I've ever had. Really?
Watching? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, being in, I only can say Toddlers and Tiaras, really.
Yeah, but you know.
That was big.
You interact with them. You were interacting with a lot with of Rock of Love girls.
Rock of Love girls, yes.
We had top model girls on
Pot Psychology. Pot Psychology. We had a lot of them.
We did. We had
Amos, Lauren.
Yeah, like there was one time where like Celia? Three of them came over.
Was Celia Courtney?
I actually do not know. I think Amy.
I definitely did stuff with Celia and Allison as well.
Allison was the one.
Did Allison Harvard do Pot Psychology? I don't think so.
Oh, I thought
she
did.
I only worked with her. To like at my place with Winston. She liked Winston.
Yeah, I thought of her and Winston.
Yeah. But it was around that time.
She's the one who couldn't open her eyes because it hurt.
Couldn't open her eyes because it hurt?
When
her
it was
eyes
sunny.
Were so big.
I know. Oh. Whenever the light was on her, oh, she right. couldn't open her eyes in light.
Right.
So they would like, you know.
Yeah, kind of a Persian cat's eye.
She had a very cool look.
Yeah. She was one of the best.
Yeah.
And very accessible.
She didn't win, right?
No, but she came close.
Yeah.
Was she number two?
Have they ever gotten it right? So far, they haven't.
Danny, I thought, was right in cycle 6.
Okay.
Naima, not so much.
No.
Nicole for cycle 5, not really.
No. It would have been better. The thing is, like...
I also thought that Tiana was
first,
a righteous winner.
The first...
I liked when Jasmine won, too.
The first three... I know very well.
Right.
And I know like all of the girls and everything. But after that, it really, I just, that shit, I needed more space for other stuff that had to go.
6 is really big, I think, in general.
Is that Carrie D?
No, she's 7, I think.
Okay.
6 is Jade and Ferranda.
Oh, Jade is really good.
Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good one. They go to Thailand.
Yes.
Anyway, Pot Psychology, I mean, Patreon.com/Pot Psychology.
No.
For more, Patreon.com/Pot Psychology?
No, it's Patreon.com/Pot Psychology.
Yeah, Patreon.com/Pot Psychology. For that, this, and rate and review, please. If you haven't done it yet.
They've done it.
Oh.
And if they haven't.
They should.
You should. Why haven't you?
Yeah. What are you waiting for? Oh my God. Also, final call for Bong for a Song. We've actually gotten quite a few entries at this point.
Yeah. How many?
At least like 4 came in, I think, this week.
This week alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have like over 10?
A number close to 10.
Okay.
So quite enough to do it.
All right. So we should do it next episode. Is next episode going
to
be?
So last call, your deadline to get it in is Monday, April 8th.
Okay.
And that'll be that. And then we're going to judge them next week. We'll play them all and judge them.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Chance to find romance, you're all I'm thinking of.